All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. August 25th, 2024, Sunday, beautiful day. Went through a little bit of a cool spell last few days, but feels like the heat is coming back. So I think we're going to do something outside today. I don't think we'll go down to the ocean, but I do think we'll probably go to the pool and hang out a little bit. A buddy of mine called. What you doing today? I was like, I don't know. He's like, you want to maybe do the pool and some pizza? Which means he has his daughter this week and he needs to come hang out at a pool, which is fine. You know, this is my friend going through, unfortunately, a divorce, and they are sort of figuring out how to handle their shared custody. And, you know, it reminds me of back in the day, you know. And it's interesting this date because tomorrow will be my first son's birthday. He will be 19. And August 24th, 2006 was actually the last time I had a drink, because August 23rd, 2004 or 2006, you know, I woke up to an empty house and my whole world fell apart because I chose to start drinking again. And so August 24th, 2006 was the last time I had a drink. I would later change my sobriety date to 2006. I would later change my sobriety date to December 22nd, 2008 because of pain pills. But yeah, tomorrow's my son's birthday. I'll never forget, man. You know, when we were living out in Easton, and that voice came back and said, you know, I don't like the way this meeting's run. We'll find another meeting. And I was like, I agreed. And then the next thing you know, I wasn't going to any meetings. And then it said, I think you've been doing really well. I think you deserve to drink again. And talking my wife into believing that I could drink again. And that would be the beginning of an end of a marriage. You know, really putting myself into that decision of what way I want to go, because I could have chosen the other way and not had a relationship with my son at all. So, but it is what it is. I'm grateful. I haven't had a drink since then, and he will be turning 19 tomorrow. And yeah, just really blessed. yeah, just really blessed and thankful that I am not, at least for today, that guy anymore, right? Up Kings of Leon, Because of the Times. Great album. Yep. So it's great to reflect. I'm grateful I'm sober today. Interesting week. you know, the I'm a big fan of RFK Jr. Saw him post or put his presidential attempt, or whatever you want to call it, on hold so that he could come out and support Trump. It's sort of an interesting, you know, at the time I was like, what in the hell? Right? I was like, this guy is never going to endorse Trump, please. And the problem is the guy cannot get out his message. And it's pretty sad because he's a really, I feel a really, really great guy. Be a great president, I think. A lot of great character. And so he put his presidential election bid on hold and supported Trump and then proceeded to have a one-hour speech and dumped it all out there. And I think a lot of people were like, whoa. And it's funny because now that he endorsed Trump, they're like, Bobby Kennedy, he's a great man. And then Trump had him out on the stage in Arizona and the freaking crowd was, Bobby, he's a great man. If somebody came up to me and told me that he wasn't, I don't know if I could be friends with that person anymore, to be honest with you, because, it's just bullshit. The guy's freaking awesome. Done a ton of work for this country before even running for president. And, you know, after Trump was, after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, he called him, Bobby called Trump and, you know, to, you know, just let him know that he was thinking about him. And I think Trump had a come to Jesus moment, according to Bobby, because, and if you've been watching into this, he, you know, there was a guy that was sort of, you know, talking to Bobby about, you know, clean food, clean water. And he reached out and said, you know, he'd also been talking to Trump and Trump was willing to have a conversation or was hoping to have a conversation about it. They ended up getting together and realized that they agreed on a lot more things than they disagreed on. So hopefully, you know, this, I don't know, you know, what are the, one of the main things that I love about RFK Jr. is his character, right? And he's also 42 years sober, right? And I know what it takes to be, get 42 years, right? I mean, I don't know what it takes to get 42 years. I know what it takes to get 16, right? And, you know, one of the things is having freaking exceptional character. And, you know, they can say the shit about the bear and the brain worm, but, you know, that's all just shit to keep people fighting. And him stepping down basically said, listen, the work's more important than the man. And I'm not going to ride this thing down in this situation and possibly lose the ability to really address some of the issues, which is the health of our children, you know, these forever wars, and our debt, right? These three things are destroying our country. The health of our country is being destroyed by the our country is being destroyed by the health of our country, or the health of the people in it, right? And so, but yeah, just interesting stuff, you know, very emotional. I really can't wait till this election's over, get on with things. The other thing that is, I went to, I've shared that I've been sort of having this weird relationship breakup with this guy, a friend of mine who's kind of been being a jerk and, you know, and he, you know, telling me you're too sensitive, and maybe I am too sensitive, but I also know that, you know, if I'm going to start feeling too sensitive, I'm just going to step away from that relationship. I don't need it, right? I don't need my balls busted every time I see this guy. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just not talking to the dude anymore, and I'm not going to go to that meeting anymore, and I'll find other meetings, and I'll solve it through that way. And he was texting me, you know, somewhat apologizing, right? A little backhanded apology. You know, and then texting me, I hope you're coming back to the meeting. And I hadn't been back, and I went to the meeting on Wednesday, and I hadn't responded to him. I hadn't reacted, right? I just was like, you know, whatever. And I went to the meeting on Wednesday, and he came over to me and shook my hand. And he goes, how you doing, buddy? And I said, I'm doing well. And, from that, I think I made my point, right? I just don't need a bunch of fucking bullshit, right? Especially from a person that's 30 years sober, right? Because then I think that, you know, the interesting thing about recovery, it is a freaking journey, man. You cannot, I don't think we can find serenity immediately. It's a grind, and there's about 1,000 off-ramps to take to get out of it if you want, right? And if you choose not to and hang in there, we do get better. And I think whether it's in 2 years or 30 years, you know, I think that, you know, this was a guy, I think, that just sort of hid in rooms, which is fine, right? you know, came in, stopped drinking, and was good with that. And then didn't really get better. And I think these shortcomings, you know, sarcasm to me is a shortcoming or a character defect. And his character defects were, you know, I was being annoyed by them. And so I'm like, you know what, bye-bye. And I think he realized, you know, maybe, and he even said it in his apology, you know, I got a group of guys that, you know, we bust each other's balls and we're all okay with that, but not everybody is. And no, I'm not okay with it. And he shouldn't be doing it because he's sober, right? He's been doing this long enough. He should know that it's a character defect. That's the kind of shit that makes you have fear. And I think he was worried that, you know, he'd gone too far once again and he was dealing with it. And so I saw him on Wednesday. He was great, very nice to me. And he's always nice to me, right? Him and I have been friends a long time, but it's just the sarcasm and the ball busting, which I just don't need. And so, you know, he was really nice to me on Wednesday. And then I said, all right, I'll go back to the meeting on Friday, and went back to the meeting. He was really very gracious to me and like normal, right? Just like normal people. And then he was like, hey, you know, I've been speaking a lot here. Would you mind sharing tonight? So I actually spoke and just shared my story again. And then when I'd gone to the meeting on Wednesday, a buddy of mine, Brian, asked me if I would share at the Saturday night meeting last night. So I spoke two times this week. And it's so funny because I used to think about when in my early recovery, how I was like, I'm never going to speak, right? I'm never sitting up front. And because that is a person that was absolutely terrified, right? Not of what I would do, of what people would think of me, right? It's always about what other people think of me. That's the shit that scares me. And so, and now today, or this week, sharing twice. And yeah, just really grateful, man. Grateful to be sober. Last night was on the eighth step. I was at a meeting I don't usually go to. And, you know, I wasn't really nervous. At this point, I really don't care. It is, I'm not there to save the room. I'm there to start the conversation, or at least start a topic, right? And we don't even have to use that topic. But we read the eighth step, and I'm, you know, I've shared before the eighth step I'm a big fan of, right? You know, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing, right, to make amends to them all. And, you know, like I shared last night, you know, I had to make that list of all the people that had harmed me, right? My list of people that I had harmed was very small for some reason. I couldn't seem, self wouldn't allow me to really see the list. I mean, of course, my parents were on the list and my employer and my neighbor and, but, you know, I had to make a list of all the people that had harmed me because it turns out I had been a victim to a lot of my own stupidity for a long time. And, you know, when it says willing, right, to me that is, for me, accountable, right, honest. And it wasn't until I started doing this, and this is like years of being sober and working the steps and working a program and being my best person, right, and having this moment where, you know, and I shared... when I lived out in California and I got in a fight with a guy that we had showed up to his house looking for drugs and didn't call, right? Just showed up, walked in, sort of how the vibe was back in those days, just came and went other people's houses. And for some reason he didn't appreciate it. And we had an altercation. And for many years I was a victim of that. I was like, that son of a bitch, right? And it wasn't until I made the list of all the people that had harmed me, which he fell under, right? Because he had harmed me. That I realized, I'm like, you know, honestly, Tom, if you hadn't gone there, right? If you hadn't walked in the guy's house, this had never happened. So let's be honest, this is your fault. And what that does, though, for me is it allows me to say, okay, so I'm responsible. I'm the one that's going to be able to fix this. This guy has nothing to do with fixing this. And once that happened, then I'm like, geez, I need to go to California because I need to apologize to the guy that I got in a fight with because... this is my fault. And in the end, it's really about just cleaning up that backpack of garbage, man. You know, I had a backpack of history, and that guy was in it. And steps like this, especially 6 and 7, I had a backpack of interactions, and I had a backpack of shortcomings and character defects, right? And so 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 allow me to clear both of those backpacks out. And quite honestly, I was surprised, right? Didn't realize it. And then once I opened that door to accountability and being willing, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people showed up, right? A bunch, you know, March 31st, 1997 in that bar, running my freaking big mouth at last call, right? And demanding two more beer, two more drinks, drunk as you could be. And I needed two more freaking vodkas, right? And, you know, when last call would show up, man, this intense fear of not being able to get another drink would show up and these demons would come out and I would be, you know, demanding. And, you know, usually I'd plan it better, right? If it's getting to be that time, I'd, you know, order my drinks. But for some reason that night, I just lost track of time. And then it was last call and it was like last second. And the guy wouldn't give me, you know, it was always a few people trying to get that last call and, you know, trying to get mine and being ignored, probably because, you know, personally, I felt they were just ignoring me, but in reality, they're like, this guy doesn't need any more. And finally getting the guy's attention, you know, and last call, you know, two more drinks, and then being told no, and then having basically a hissy fit, and then getting punched into my mouth, right? Shut up, is what he said. And, you know, dropping to the floor and blood pouring out of my mouth. And I'll never forget thinking when I looked over to that guy walking around the bar, coming towards me, thinking he likes me, he's going to help me, and him picking me up and throwing me out the front door was a real point in my life where I realized that self was just destroying me. And but you know, for a long time, being like, that guy's an asshole, that guy's a jerk, he should have never done that, and fuck him. And you know, it'd be, sure enough, that guy would fall under that list, right, of people that I actually needed to make amends to. And actually, I had that, the pleasure of doing that. I guess pleasure is the right word. I don't know. The moment where I got to see him and say, you know, man, I really apologize. That was my fault, and I really am sorry. And he was like, no big deal, man. And I don't even know if he hit me, really. I still don't know who hit me, but they all probably should have. And, but I was able to apologize. He was the owner of the bar, and I just said, you know, I'm really sorry. First of all, I said, thank you, you know, because if he had not done that, I may have continued, right? And then would later continue anyway. But yeah, he would fall under that list. But like I said, for a long time, I blamed people like that. And what happens, though, is that it just, you know, and when that kind of stuff happens, then you tell stories about it, right? You know, my father and I would always talk about that guy, because that night in San Diego when I got in a fight, I ended up having to go to the hospital, and I didn't need stitches, but part of my eye socket or something was cracked, and it was a whole thing. And, you know, my dad had to take me to the hospital. So my father, you know, he was like post-traumatic stress disorder from these incidents. And, you know, in his mind, all these people had harmed me, right? And so him and I would, that conversation, I'll never forget that night when I had to take it down to UCSD or whatever it was. And you know, he was a victim of it. I was a victim of it. But that story would come up all the time. We always talked about that story in the bar and all these bad things that have happened to me over my life. And once I started to become accountable and realize, and I had the conversation with my dad, I told him, I said, you know, Dad, that was my fault, right? And he was like, I don't know, what do you mean? And, you know, it wasn't until I could become accountable, you know, recognize it, make an amends if I could, do whatever it is I could, and then freaking put it to bed, right? And since that day, we haven't talked about that anymore. And I don't talk about the bar incident. I mean, I share things on this podcast, but I don't talk about that anymore, because I'm not a victim of it anymore, right? And, you know, when I go to meetings, especially like this weekend or last night, I was at a meeting, and there's a person there that always talks about the death of their mother. And because they're a victim of it, right? They're a victim of the death of their mother, and it's always a thing. And, you know, it's like, you know, my mom died. We celebrated her death. She had an amazing life, right? I don't need to be a victim of her death. She had an amazing life. She saw me sober. It's all good. You know, I don't need to post, you know, heavenly birthdays. I mean, if you do, that's fine, whatever, right? But, you know, what's motivating it? And, that's the cool thing about these eighth and ninth step and the sixth and seventh step, especially the eighth and ninth step when clearing out that backpack of, you know, your history. Because once you do it, I don't have to talk about it anymore, right? I know the part I played. I made my amends. I've cleaned it up. I've done the best I can. I've buried it. And now it's done. I won't forget it, right? It's a reminder, right, that when situations like that pop up, my first thought is that it's somebody else's fault, right? And, you know, I shared in the meeting last night, I go, it wasn't until I really decided that everything that's ever happened to me in my life, good or bad, I played a role in, right? If the word my is in it, it's probably I played a role in it, you know, whether it's all my fault or partly my fault, if my feet were there, you know, I played a role. And I had to realize that because, you know, like getting punched at the bar, you know, for a long time, I was like, that guy's just a jerk. Right. But no, my feet were there. They were connected to my legs, connected to my body, which is connected to my big mouth. And my big mouth got me punched. And the sooner I can figure that out, man, the sooner, because that's, you know, right. You know, I'm trying to have this relationship with a higher power. And what I've realized is that it just doesn't consist of any fear. Right. And, you know, old stories, situations that I haven't taken responsibility for, those are all, they're all based in fear, right, and self. And the only thing, the only person that gets dealt with fear is self. And so, yeah, it's just it's a big deal. But, man, that's, you know, but like I said last night, you know, we come into this program, the first step was we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. My life had become unmanageable to everybody else, right? I had a bad neighbor, bad apartment, bad boss, and my life was just, my behavior was just not destroying theirs, but making it very inconvenient for them, right? But I was sort of content, and but it wasn't until I finally said, and as I shared last night, you know, I used to joke all the time, you know, I'm an alcoholic, right? We're just a happy bunch of alcoholics. But it's like that, the tire that keeps losing air, right? It's just a problem. But until I identify it, oh, there's a nail in the tire, right? Then I can fix it. But until then, I'm just living with it. And that's what I'd been doing. I was just existing with this issue. And the first step allowed me to admit that I actually had a problem. And once I admitted I have a problem, that means that I hopefully can find a solution if I want it, right? And then the second step, you know, that's just to find a higher power. Believe whatever it is you want, but believe in something, right? And then that third step allows us to start making better choices, right? And that reflects in our actions, which I said last night. I feel like that's the beginning of a relationship with a higher power, because when I make the right choice, I don't sit around being afraid of my decision, right? And when I make the right choice, you know, whether it's to go to a meeting, you know, if it's just to not drink, right? I can remember back in the day, you know, I basically drank every day, but there would just be a day like I just had gone too hard for too long and I would just take a break. And I just remember the peace, right? The freedom, like, oh my God, how nice was that? You know, but that would just get me ready for my, you know, next day that I would, you know, drink again. But you know, when we start making those better choices, we start feeling better. And that's what the third step does. And then the fourth step, that moral inventory, that list, right? You know, I've said this before. If I'm going to start my whole life over, it might as well be with a clean slate. I didn't realize that that was what was going on. I feel like I'd sort of been sentenced. This was my punishment. Make a list, right? You know, I shared last night, enjoy this. Enjoy recovery. Don't make it a punishment. Make it a learning adventure if we can. I didn't do that early on, but that's what it is for me today. It's a learning adventure. And, you know, but if you start making that moral inventory, it really shines a lot of light on who I was as a person. And, you know, some of it was pretty gross. I was like, ugh. And then sharing it with another person, right? And I did not do that perfectly the first time. I don't know if that... I think that's probably what allowed me to drink again, right? I can't say for sure specifically, but self, you know, that was a self decision. Self said, let's not share. So that means self still running, the devil's still in there. And, you know, and then doing the sixth and seventh step. Really, struggling with the fifth step. I'm not sure my sixth and seventh were that great. And then going into the eighth and ninth, it was always about the best, biggest, longest list, right? Look at me. Look at my list. This is how important this is to me. Look at it, right? And like I shared last night, it is not about the biggest list. It's about the willingness, right? To really be honest, for me at least, and to take a real hard look at why I've gotten to the place I'm at and what's behind it. You know, I don't know if I shared this the other day, but, you know, my life has become like this panel, right? And when I came into the program, it was a panel of 12, one angel and 11 devils, right? And the steps have allowed me to balance it out. Not perfect, right? I don't have 12 angels in my head, but I think it's about a 6-6, right? It's maybe a 5-7, maybe 7 angels, 5 devils, but it's pretty balanced, right? And it allows me to see both sides and to try to find the part that I played, right? Back in the day, I didn't have that ability, right? Whenever something happened, I'm like, well, you shouldn't have done that, right? Well, that's your fault, right? I could not see the role that I played in anything. And so I just had a lot of bad luck, and I was a victim to a lot of unfortunate incidents. And today, you know, everything that I do, good or bad, I know that I'm responsible and I play a role in it. Right. So when I do stupid things, right, or when I do say stupid things, you know, I feel it in my heart and I need to fix it. And to me, that is the relationship with God. Interesting week. Shared at a couple meetings, watching this presidential election. Hopefully it'll all work out. But yeah, let's see. Let's still read the daily reflection and then, I'm going to go hang out, chill out, relax a little today. All right, here we go. August 25th, 2024. Well, August 25th. Relieving me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Yes, sir. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 63. Many times in my alcoholic state, I drank to establish a bond between myself and others. But I succeeded only in establishing the bondage of alcoholics' loneliness. Through the AA way of life, I have received the gift of bonding with those who were there before me and those who are there now and with those yet to come. For this gracious gift from God, I am forever grateful. Yeah. Yep. It's amazing when I realized how selfish I was and how much self basically ran my life, and letting go of it or putting the light on it just changed my life completely. And not immediately, over time, right? But it is an amazing thing when the revelation that how selfish I was and how that voice will talk me into doing so many different things and how I lived in this uneasy, not peaceful, full of fear existence. And these steps the meetings and working with others have allowed me to be free of that. And I'm just so blessed. If you're new, you know, just keep hanging on, man. And, work the steps, talk to people, and hopefully we'll get better. All right, later. Renegades, like living crazy.
never gonna